Off the ball.
Rugby.
I think it's disgraceful, I really do. And Laser allowed away with it. It just smacks of self-interest and suits South African and New Zealand rugby. Like, you got to look after your neighbours as well. This is like when England tried to break away and do their own TV deal.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Arthur is a masculine name of Celtic, Latin and Welsh origin. It is believed to be derived from the word artus, meaning bear. As experts differ on its preciser origin, the name can also mean Thor, the eagle, and strongman. All equally acceptable definitions of Mr. O'D here to my right. Good morning.
Hi, how are you doing?
You well?
Yeah. You're running out of road with them.
Oh, I wouldn't say. I think if anything, we're opening up a new motorway.
Oh. Next week now it'll be the surname.
Yeah. No doubt.
You'll surreptitiously find out in the week, then, oh, your middle name, oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Well, I'll have you know, I did do some research and digging on you yesterday with other members of Off the Ball. I was going to go another avenue here, but we couldn't get the definitive answer on what I was looking for. But be patient and we will get there at some point.
Any famous ODs? Darren O'D, Willie O'D, other ODs?
I think Jimmy O'D was an actor.
He knows Willie O'D was an actor.
No, but I don't know what kind. I think, like, on stage, I'm not sure of...
I think you could do it all.
Entertainer, maybe. Yeah, triple threat.
You watched Dragons then?
I was watching it last
night. You're mad
into it, yeah. We were trying to build up to the Traders.
He loves the Traders.
I'm watching
loves
it too,
the
yeah.
Traders.
Celebrity one?
Just, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Last night, the night before.
Great.
Now, excellent. What are you winking?
No, I didn't like that finish last night. I'm not going to spoil it for anyone.
No.
But I don't always love a cliffhanger.
They leave you for 6 days.
Sometimes, yeah, exactly.
If it was tomorrow night, that's fine.
Yeah, 6 day cliffhangers. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
On night two. Give us something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good film, though. Good opening scene. Now, you heard a voice there. Sylvester Stallone is in that. Did you ever see that? Cliffhanger?
No, I haven't, actually.
Oh, man. First scene is amazing.
Right, okay.
Don't want to spoil it for you.
Seek it out.
Who is that voice you're hearing? I'll tell you about it. The date was October 1st, 1995. King Eric Cantona returned to the Theatre of Dreams from Manchester United against Liverpool following his nine-month Kung Fu Kick. Inspired band, 30 years later, we've been starved for an iconic sporting return in the month of October. Befitting of that occasion, Old Trafford. That is until this morning. Welcome back. In fact, no, welcome home. The Monaghan Menace and Maestro himself, it's Shane Hannan. Shane.
Yeah.
Hello.
In fairness, the 3 weeks, you know, I knew when I kung fu kicked someone in the kitchen.
You can't do it,
Jar.
You can't, no, you know, like, if you do it to the big boy.
I thought he might take it as a joke, but didn't quite go that way. And in fairness, a 3 week ban was just about right. So good to be back. I feel refreshed. I feel reinvigorated, ready to go.
Yeah.
I was asking people for advice beforehand in terms of taking a 16-month-old on an airplane for the first time and into an airport for the first time.
Yes.
3-hour flight to Faro for a lovely holiday in Portugal. And luckily enough, we had the grandparents, Aoife's parents, on the flight over.
Mm-hmm.
But what you don't prepare for, generally, you know, a child of 16 months might do one large poo per day, okay? You know this, Cullum.
You might, get what it is? Just one?
Sometimes. But on this 3-hour flight, our little daughter, Luna, decided to do two massive poos. And if you've ever been on the back of a Ryanair plane trying to change a baby's nappy, and only one parent can fit, by the way, so Aoife took the first and I thought I was in the clear. Then another one, a bigger one, arrived and I had to change a nappy in the back of a Ryanair flight. As she, who was too long for the, she's quite a tall 16-month-old, too long for the thing, legs kicking in the air, poo everywhere. And I feel like I should have earned a certificate in parenting after that flight. And then she proceeded, the nappy wasn't working, she proceeded to piss all over me on the remainder of the flight. So it was an experience.
Your daughter, is it?
My daughter, yeah, it wasn't Aoife. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. And great time on holidays. Good to be back.
Well, obviously, objectively, like, that'd be so disgusting. That'd be like, you know, the idea of someone pissing and shitting on you. You'd be just like, you wouldn't even, you know, you wouldn't encounter it in day-to-day life.
But
in this scenario, you just kind of...
If you'd asked just me like 17, 18 months ago, just before she was born, that I would be okay with this, I'd not have believed you.
Would you be getting worked up now? Or would you be getting kind of just like, you're just like, ah, it's just par and parcel.
Completely normal.
Okay.
If I could, you're probably the same, Cullum. I think you just roll with the punches and becomes the norm. Kind of, it prepares you for life in some ways. You appreciate the quiet moments. You know, you have to ask your partner permission to go to the toilet, permission to go out for a walk, permission to do most things because it's all hands on deck. I can only imagine what parents, and I saw some parents in the airport with three kids, like you're talking 5, 3, 1. And I was like, you are superhuman. Like that's yeah. Once you get to three, that's there's more, you have to do zonal marking then because there are more kids than
more
parents.
More than you.
So like you can mark man to man with two kids. One kid is actually pretty all right, I'd imagine. But three kids, zonal marking is tough.
I've never seen our sound engineer Charlie enjoy a show so much to start of this. Loving this content.
Talking about poo and pee, I suppose, yeah. Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah. It is funny. It's an interesting change in mind.
Yeah. Oh, it's
just like what, like automatic. Just like a complete personality switch.
The chemistry
like,
of your brain switches. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I do now.
Yeah. Well, there's a thing from the very outset, from the very first days in the hospital, because there's a thing, I'm not going to explain what it is. You'll know this word, Colm, I would imagine. But meconium. I don't know if you've ever heard of meconium.
Meconium.
Meconium. M-E-C-O-N-I-U-M.
No, I'm not familiar with
that. I think, Colm, you know what meconium is, but for anyone out there, I'm not going to tell you what meconium is because it's pretty rank. But
who does it concern?
Concerns parents of a newborn in the hospital. I could just tell you what it is, but I don't know if it's too early in the morning for this, Colm. You know, probably is. That's why I'm kind of holding back. MEC.
I think that's fine.
That's all right, is it?
I think that's fine. I mean, it's
not great.
Anything natural, you're kind of getting.
It's natural. Okay. Well, it's meconium is essentially the first poo that a baby does after being in the womb, and it's pretty interesting one.
I didn't know that was a thing.
But it's tarry. Yeah.
Tarry. Wow. Mm.
Sorry, is that an sorry event? For everyone eating their breakfast.
Is that an event? That's a thing, or just
well, it's just the first few poos are obviously they've just been ingesting
dirty diesel.
I don't know how we got here, but yeah, it's essentially because of that. It's quite a tarry substance. It's different to what we would perceive as normal.
Oh, jeez, I don't envy.
Sorry for bringing it up.
There's me just watching Dragon's Den and Traders, not a worry in the world.
I was watching Traders too. Actually.
Keep an eye on the cat.
Yeah.
Cat's funny too. The cat's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say it's very similar.
That's a lot of pressure too.
Yeah. No, England beat Wales, all right. 3-0 last night. Saka scored a lovely goal. Thomas Tuchel's not happy with the fans.
Nah, you're not happy with this.
He didn't like that comment.
He's not happy with the fans at all, Thomas Tuchel. Where was the atmosphere? Let's be having you.
Yeah, bit of that. It's a dangerous move for a non-English manager to be calling out the fans, I think. But he's probably right.
What does he want though? Like, it's a friendly against
friendly at Wembley. What are they putting at Wembley for? Like, move around the country.
Yeah.
That's a perfect point. Yeah. It's like it's not.
Put it to James's Park or something. Yeah.
We kind of always knew they were going to win it.
Yeah.
And. Yeah, it's hard to know what he wants. Like, I do wonder though, everything about their years in between the tournaments always seem fairly drab. It's just like.
They've actually nailed that period.
It can only go bad.
They always do really well. Fabio Capello, Sir Gareth, they all fly.
The in-betweeners,
they've nailed it.
Yeah.
So we have Keith Tracy in the production box there. He'll be imminent. So a few Keith Friday topics left over from the last few weeks. We got your favourite games. Games that mean something to you. The goal you wished you scored could be a great goal, could be a goal of great importance. And we have leftovers from underrated players that people have continued to suggest. Keith also covered the football last night. I wish there was plenty. World Cup qualifiers, the European ones we got going last night, Shane.
Yeah.
Some great scorelines here.
Give me a few of them.
Austria 10, San Marino 0.
Love that.
Love it. Love a double figure.
And anyone score 4 or 5?
He's asked me, has anyone scored 4 or 5? To which I'll say... Yes, Mark Arnautovic scored 4.
Oh, excellent. You need at least a four gold salvo.
Yeah. How about this for the Faroe Islands?
Where is the salvo threshold?
Yeah, what becomes a salvo? This football cliche stuff here, but what is a salvo? Yeah. What is a salvo? I think a hat-trick is just a hat-trick, but four gold is a salvo.
Okay.
What's the definition of salvo?
What is a salvo?
What is the physical form of a salvo?
To be honest with you, salvo is a simultaneous discharge of artillery or other guns in a battle. A deafening salvo of shots rang out. A sudden vigorous or aggressive act or series of
actions. So it has to be 4 or more, really.
A sudden or series of actions. So might mean a quick fire.
That's 4 quick goals. Maybe Arsenal and Anfield, like.
So you could get a 3-goal salvo in 10 minutes, maybe.
Salvo. It's quick.
Yeah.
And painful.
Good to know.
For the opposition.
How about this for the Faroe Islands? This is the work that Brian Kerr started. And they won 4-0.
They won 4-0?
Yeah.
Right.
Won 4-0.
Any salvos?
Big win for Scotland as well.
4-0 against Montenegro. Scotland 3, Greece 1, the boys says tomorrow. He'd be correct. Greece went 1-0 up at Hampden. One all until the 80th minute. Lewis Ferguson and Lyndon Dykes, the goals there. Mm. Ryan Christie equalised. Czechia, our good friends, stayed 0-0 with Croatia. Malta 0, Netherlands 4. Don't know if you saw this game. Virgil van Dijk at 0-0. Catastrophic error that was not capitalised on.
Do you know what I was thinking about watching the results last night? I was obviously thinking from an Irish perspective.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think that game wasn't... The Dutch kind of must have tacked on some of those goals late. Because there was a point where it was like 1-2-0, obviously. If it was finished 4-0. But I was kind of watching that and then looking at the Austria-San Marino. Now, we're not San Marino, nor Malta. But I was thinking, our game could go either way. Mm-hmm. Our game could go like that. I was like, I wonder what the upper limit is. It's the biggest defeat. 6-1 was the biggest.
Ireland's biggest defeat.
Certainly that I recall. I'm not missing anything, am I? Anything obvious?
No, back in the day, there was probably some massive...
Obviously, it was 5-0 against England, so that's the same gap, isn't it? But I was just trying to think. I wonder like how bad... I'm just curious. I'm not wishing it on anyone. I'm just curious. If Portugal were really at it,
yeah,
could they score 8?
Well, I was listening to Stewie Byrne with yourselves on during the week, and he was remarkably optimistic, I thought. You were quite optimic as well. Uh-huh. Arthur, I saw the clip of yourself during the week.
There's
no point in this game, even if we win, which was... I think you echo the sentiments of a lot of Irish fans at the moment. If I was to predict the scoreline of this match, I know we'll do it later on, but a 4-0 is probably what I would expect as the par score. Anything better than that, you know, if we lose by 2 goals, I think we'll have played quite well over there. But we could easily lose by 6. Yeah, 6-1 against Germany is the biggest competitive defeat we've had.
Can I bring in a YouTube commenter?
Oh yeah.
Please. Stephen Shortall.
Stephen Shortall, who's that?
I was at the Austrian game last night with my son. San Marino were very bad. Why? Why are we there?
Who's this? Who's Stephen Shortall?
You got to fill us in, Stephen.
He's not one of the regulars. How many regulars do you think we have?
You can see. You can check.
30?
You can check.
Who's over in Vienna, presumably, wasn't it?
Well, it's a tiny percentage of people who comment in terms of a viewing.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's come out
That's
of
what we tell ourselves.
The woodwork.
Ernst Happel Stadium, yeah.
I want to hear more about this.
Yeah, tell us. Continue type. We will read it out.
What's the most random game of football you've ever been at?
That's a great question.
I was at like Bayern Munich, Werder Bremen was probably like a random one.
Yeah,
like,
I was at an 1860 Munich game on a stag.
There you go.
Vaka Olic came on.
Right.
We all got very excited. I got a jersey and it's unbelievable. Navy jersey. Navy jersey.
Nice.
Which team?
1860.
They were Navy. I thought they were black and white.
It was an away kit for them, yeah. And Olic came on. Do you remember him? Croatia.
Olic, yeah.
Forward.
Bit of a barreler,
wasn't
he?
This was in 2017.
Yeah.
It was their championship,
Right.
They got relegated. But it was at the Allianz Arena. 1860, because I don't know who they played. We went to it there on a whim. Great event, because they have standing sections. You just mill about.
Right.
Drink, do what you like.
Yeah, I don't think I've been to too many random ones. I've been to a few different odd League of Ireland ones.
Yeah.
It's always within reach. It's never...
Yeah, that's a good one, actually, yeah.
It's ball boy from Monaghan United against Celtic under 23s.
You've told that story before.
Told that story before.
Come on.
Broken record.
In 3 weeks. No way,
tell you about the Spa Grand Prix.
You told us about...
Yeah. Spa Grand Prix.
You told us about the holidays. It's all good.
Tell us about some of your interviews, yeah. You're getting your touches back in the moment.
Because
we're starting you, Lord.
I've forgotten what I have
said. We're not
going
to bring you on.
Stephen is just an Irish man living in Austria. There seems to be no greater story there.
It's still interesting that he went to that game.
I'm unfamiliar with this boy's work.
Yeah.
It's great to have you. Finland 2, Lithuania 1. And as I mentioned, England 3, Wales 0.
Rasmus Højlund with another couple of goals.
Did he, yeah?
For Denmark.
Denmark.
6-0 win away to Belarus.
6-0.
Patrick Dorgu scored in that game as well for Denmark.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And Cyprus and Bosnia and Herzegovina drew 2-2. I was in Bosnia.
Oh, yeah.
But
Sarajevo.
Not Herzegovina.
Not Herzegovina.
Because it is separate.
Are they separate now?
So separate parts of the country.
But they're the same country.
Yeah, they're the same country,
right.
Yeah.
Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Lovely, lovely, lovely part of the world.
Right.
Better, Bosnia.
Sarajevo.
Why are we there?
I was holidaying in Croatia, so it's only over the road. again, I went to Montenegro as well. That's only over the road that way.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's very reasonably priced. Great fish.
Great fish.
For anyone out there that would like that. Speaking of great fish, this doesn't work as a segue at all. Shamrock Rovers could win the league tonight. Shamrock Rovers are playing Shells tonight.
Catch of the day here.
Caught this just in time. Shamrock Rovers play Shells tonight.
They do.
In the Premier Division.
We're getting some great things in for weird matches, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
We'll come back to that. All right. We'll come back to that.
Well, like, what do you want to do now, do you know, in general? Do you want to continue with the show? Do you want to get Keith in? We call it a day here.
just end the show now. What do you call it a day.
I don't mind now, personally.
He's just giving him back. Get him 15 minutes. Get the legs back up.
You wanted to mention a retirement from the GAA world as well.
Not a small retirement. But John is gone.
John Small's retirement, yeah.
What do you think of this, right? Because we were actually discussing a pre-show about, like, how much airtime do we give this? Because he's part of this great Dublin era.
Yeah.
And he was fundamental to it. Was it, he has 7 All-Ireland medals?
He does.
He played 8 games?
Conor McEwan says 8 of the 9 finals.
8 of the 9 finals.
Only didn't start his first one.
Wow. So, you know, very prominent part of the... of the greatness, and I'm left thinking, what do you say about him? Because the platitudes would be very predictable, wouldn't they? Great servant, great player. Thing that struck me was the age again.
Yeah.
Which started with Brian Fenton last year. He's only 32.
Yeah.
Does it go back to the whole story that we need more time for the commitment levels required? Or do people just, are they happy with their lot?
There's a bit of that, but there's also the fact that maybe more so in counties where the success hasn't been as forthcoming. Like, you know, Monaghan had a couple of retirements recently, Darren Hughes and Carl O'Connell, but they were well into their 30s.
Yeah.
John Small, Brian Fenton, Jack McCaffrey, these guys have the Celtic crosses in the back pocket. They can probably afford to go, do you know what? Doesn't get much better than this. 7 All-Ireland medals. He got his All-Star John Small as well in 2020. So,
yeah,
call it a day.
Definitely. I think there's a lot to be said for going out on a high. Not that they just won the All-Ireland, but like he hasn't given himself an opportunity to flatline or diminish the immortal Jamie Carragher words of leave the game before the game leaves you.
Especially the fact that Louth won the Leinster Championship last year would have led me to think some of these players might go again. And with Ger Brennan coming on board, you know, you might want experience life under a new manager, even for just a season. But maybe Desi Farrell, I think, coached John Small from under 13 level at Dublin right up. So maybe it made sense, and it was quite a nice way to part for John Small to leave with Desi Farrell in charge. And look, he's got a kid as well. He's obviously got commitments. He'd probably play club now till he's well into his 30s, I'd imagine, with Ballymun. So
it's amazing with those dub lads, because Stephen Cluxton, the exception really of you hang on as long as you can. Because like, go back to like Dear McConnelly, like, I mean, he finished up way too early.
Yeah,
he came back, of course. So, yeah. Like, he had the hiatus return, but he only returned for a year, maybe 2 years. Was it 2 years he came back for and then left again? With these lads, you think there's an awful lot of football left in these boys. Like, McCaffrey went as well for different reasons, I suppose, for work reasons. Brian Fenton, like, if you follow Brian Fenton on Instagram, you see he's loving life this past summer away.
Yeah,
just got the monumental commitment required, even for those who enjoy it, even those who love it, even those who win it all. It is seismic. We had David Reedy on during the week. I don't know if you heard it, but it's off the back of Aeroge winning their first Clare Senior Hurling Championship in 35 years. And he stepped away at the age of 26 from intercounty hurling for a year. So they just got too much, because he was doing a Masters as well. He was like, the priority was hurling, and then more hurling.
Mm.
It's mad for this endeavour where you don't get any remuneration. You get your expenses, but you don't get paid.
Yeah.
The never-ending debate, like, but it's just 32. John Small was a cheese. He probably had a couple of quests for a regaining of an All-Ireland in him, but has chosen this step. I'm always fascinated by people when they decide to walk away, especially when it's on their terms.
Yeah,
you know.
And look, they exited the quarterfinal stage last year to Tyrone, and
they did.
It was probably the fact that the Dubs probably look around now and they see the likes of Kerry, they see Armagh, they see Tyrone up and coming.
Yeah,
and other teams even in the bracket behind that, and. Like, they're probably thinking this is going to be very tough to win the next. I think John Duggan said within the last year that he would expect Dublin maybe might only get, say, one or two All-Irelands in the next decade, which at the time I thought was crazy talk, but now you look at it and you're like, you can kind of see that. There's going to be no dominance. If there's going to be dominance, it would be the likes of Kerry maybe might win three or maybe four.
Jack O'Connor's never retained it. Yeah. It's the only thing. So it's actually all up for grabs next year, to be fair.
It is.